You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even though it's another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, I don't plan the show out. And apparently I'm going to continue to drive the show into the ditch all night long. I've already done it about four times during the show. It's going to happen again. When I say I don't plan the show out, I need to clarify something, because we'll get to what Joe Biden said here in just a second. There is, in this business, something called a show sheet. A show sheet. I don't use one. Apparently, I'm basically the only one. What a show sheet is, it's a piece of paper. I bet they do it on a computer now. And you know how you have segments? There are four segments every hour to the show. People actually sit down. This is almost everyone you listen to. They sit down and they plan out the show. I'm going to talk about this and this segment, and then I'll talk about that and that segment, and then we'll do this and this segment. And I guess I should probably do that, right? I can't act like I'm the one that knows what I'm doing when everyone else has been doing it for so much longer. But I don't like doing it that way. I sit down. Chris and Michael print out 30 stories for me. I'll just look at all of them. I mean, this is right before the show starts. I mean, 5 minutes before the show starts. I'll sit down. I'll grab five, six, seven of them. Stack the other ones up on the side, but figure we'll do them for headlines later on in the show. And I sit down and boom, off we go. That may drive you insane. The little side detours I take when I'm in the middle of something may drive you nuts. If that's the case, I'd say I'm sorry, but I'm not, because that's who I am. Maybe you love it, but you never know what you're going to get. Because I don't know what I'm going to give. So you want to talk about unpredictable, it's unpredictable. That being said, Chris has a story that I told a long time ago that he's requested. I'm going to do that 30 minutes from now. It's a little personal story you may just find yourself enjoying. But anyway, back to the Jake Tapper, Joe Biden stuff. You remember how I've been saying, by the way, this hour, on top of that personal story, we'll do a little more Pfizer stuff. You know how I've been saying that Joe Biden is going to get pasted in the midterms, the Democrats will, and then the system is going to say, hey, Joe, you're done. I want you to listen to this question and answer from Jake Tapper. And on top of the, I don't really know, I'm so tired, on top of all that, I want you to listen very closely to what Joe Biden has to say.
We passed $368 billion worth of help, which, as the same bankers talk about, is going to bring a trillion, $700 billion off the sidelines in investment.
Chris, that was not at all the soundbite that I requested. It wasn't even close to the soundbite I requested. That wasn't even close to being right. This is, Chris, this is an outrage. Would you please play the one about Joe Biden talking about running for re-election, please?
Big question, of course, is when you're going to make an official announcement about whether or not you're going to run for 2024 for re-election. Do you think you'll make a decision before the end of the year?
Well, look, I'm not going to make this about my decision. I'm going to make this about this off-year election. After that's done in November, then I'm going to be in the process.
I'm not going to make it about blah, 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 my decision. I'm going to make it about this off-year election. After that's done, then I'm going to make my decision. And it's going to be a very easy decision. Think about it. You're Joe Biden. You already got to be president. This is unbelievable to think, given what a disaster he's been. This is unbelievable to think, but Joe Biden's going to have a presidential library. Have you thought about that? There's going to be a Joe Biden presidential library. How much fun would it be to design the Joe Biden presidential library? Well, I don't know. I got to go fart. Remember when Joe Biden pooped in front of the Pope and it leaked out and everybody kind of ignored the fact that he pooped his pants? Anyway, setting that aside, he's going to have been president. He's going to have all the retirement Secret Service protection for life. Because he was president, he's going to end up getting his son out of all the legal trouble that he's supposedly in. And he's going to get to ride off back to Delaware and spend all that Chinese corruption money and not have to deal with it anymore. And why would he sit and mess with a Republican Congress? Do keep in mind, the Republican Congress, as big of a failure as it's going to be, they're going to be much more aggressive than they've been in the past, and they might just do one or two things you like. You know how I know? The Joe Biden administration, they're already massively staffing up in preparation for all the hearings and inquisitions that are coming from the Republicans. It's coming. So if you're Joe Biden, why deal with it at all? What do you gain from it? After the midterms, you just, sorry guys, health is acting up. I've got to go on home and crash my bike into somebody. Have a good one. Anyway, can some kids come over? You know that's how it's going to go. Speaking of children, Joe Biden, well, here it was.
Prosecutors think they have enough to charge your son, Hunter. How do you react to that?
Well, first of all, I'm proud of my son. This is a kid.
Sorry, I have to stop that real quick. How about that question? How about the question? The question gets asked of Republicans. This is how it's asked. I know you've heard this 1,000 times. I was talking to my sons about it last night because I saw it on the local news. Hey, people are saying that you are not only a serial killer, but that you torture puppies on the sidelines. That's what people are saying. What do you think about that? That's how the question's to Republicans. when you're dealing with a Democrat, though, you want him to succeed. So Hunter Biden has committed clear felonies. And do understand this when it comes to Hunter Biden. If you're not a gun guy or gun girl, you might not understand this. You have to fill things out when you buy a gun. Sadly, you shouldn't have to, but you do. You have to fill things out when you want to buy a gun. It's a felony to lie on those documents. A felony. If you lie on those documents, it's not some misdemeanor. They're coming for you, and you will spend time in federal prison. It is a felony. Hunter Biden, that is one of the things I'm not going to say accused of. I've seen the document. Maybe you have too. Hunter Biden committed a felony. I don't have to wait for some jury investigation or verdict or a judge or their lawyer or my lawyer. It is on paper, black and white. And I hate using the word literally, but it is quite literally in black and white. It's on a piece of paper. He committed a felony. Listen, though, to how the question's asked.
Prosecutors think they have enough to charge your son, Hunter. How do you react to that?
Well, first of all, I'm proud of my son. This is a kid who got, he's a grown man. He got hooked on drugs. He's overcome that. He's established a new life. He is, I'm confident that he is, what he says and does are consistent with what happens. For example, he wrote a book about
what he says and does or is consistent with what happens. Is there some kind of a school these people go to where you get to just throw out meaningless things? And that mean, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? Anyway,
his problems, and was straightforward about it. I'm proud of him. He came along and said, by the way, this thing about a gun, I didn't know anything about it, but turns out that when he made my application to purchase a gun, what happened was he said, I guess you get asked, I don't guess, you get asked the question, are you on drugs? You use drugs? He said no. And he wrote about saying no in right. his book. So I've got confidence in my son.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, let's do a little quick side note here. The Biden family aside, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, they are very, very powerful, very, very destructive things. They are. And so it's just a quick side note here. If you're going through that, or you've overcome that, or you're trying to overcome that, you should know that there's tons of help for you available out there, and that whatever you get from other walks of life, from your family, friends, whoever, whatever you get from other places, for whatever it's worth, you'll never get any judgment from me for that. If you're, what's that old saying? If you're going through hell, keep going. Maybe you haven't even started quitting yet. You want to, but you haven't started. I still am proud of you for wanting to. That stuff destroys lives, and it's brutal, and people who want out of those things, I applaud you. If you've beaten it, I drank for 40 years and I'm clean, I'm proud of you. You were hooked on drugs and you're clean, I'm proud of you. If you're trying to get clean, I'm proud of you. If you're just starting, I'm proud of you. Just know that is not easy. It is also not uncommon. There are so many people out there who struggle with those things. Historically, people struggle with those things. Remember, the Mongols would probably still rule all of Asia if they could stop freaking boozing it up. Virtually every one of their leaders died by just his liver just fell out of his butt. It just liquefied in front of him. So if you're going through it, keep going. All right. All right. Now, I'm going to defend female comedians. And apparently that whole gay Superman thing isn't going to work out well for DC Comics. We'll make fun of them and more in a moment. But first, I want you to grab a credit card for me, and I want you to save someone's life. It costs $28 to save the life of an unborn baby. Preborn, they are out there. They are the counter to all these sick abortion clinics. Preborn, they're the ones that are out there telling these young ladies before they go in, hey, you want a free ultrasound? It's a free ultrasound. Do you want a free ultrasound? The ladies who accept it, these scared young women who accept it, almost always they choose to go forward with the pregnancy and have that baby. Maybe they give it up for adoption or whatever the case may be, but that baby gets a shot at life. That ultrasound costs $28. $28 from you saves a life. $140 saves 5 lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby. #250 baby. Or you can donate online if you want. Preborn.com/Jesse. That's preborn.com/Jesse. Let's go save a life tonight.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we have, look, I need to defend female comedians here before we make fun of DC Comics trying for a gay Superman and failing. But I realize there are some things that I've been neglectful on, and that's going to stop right now. How long's it been since we have played the greatest song in the history of mankind?
I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, 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 fritos.
It makes me hungry too, Chris. Don't worry, we ordered cheese steaks. I want everyone to calm down. The darkness is not going to be here. I hope not. Right now I'm hungry. That's fine. That's fine. The darkness isn't going to come. The cheese steaks should get here. I'm still unsure about our decision. All three of us made the same decision to get hot oil peppers on the cheese steaks we ordered. Now, let me clarify something. I'm not anti-pepper at all. I like peppers. I love peppers. But, well, here's a conversation I had with the wife very early on when we got married. She started cooking, you know, as women should do. What, Chris? It's fine. Anyway, she started cooking. And initially, she sucked because she just didn't prioritize food. Her family doesn't, they're not big foodies. My family lives and dies for food, so she couldn't cook at all. She's an incredible cook now out of practice, but she sucked. So she started making homemade spaghetti. And she would chop up green peppers and put them in the homemade spaghetti. I like peppers. I'm not anti-pepper. But the peppers were all you could taste when you put it in the spaghetti sauce. I don't want green pepper sauce. I want spaghetti sauce. It's like pickles on a sandwich. I'm not anti-pickle. I'll eat a pickle. I'll Kabbalah down a dill pickle right now if you bring it in here. But I don't want it on a sandwich because it's all I can taste. It's the freaking pickle. I'm worried about these hot oil peppers. All right, Chris, let's make fun of DC Comics here. I do enjoy when these people who live in these bubbles, they live in these bubbles and they do everything they can to pour filth into our culture. I love when it blows up in their faces. Because remember, bubble thinking is real. If you live in New York, LA, Washington, D.C., and you only live, work, and worship around far, far left communists, you genuinely believe half the country's gay in one that you do. I remember it was a study, it came out not long ago, that I think it was 2 to 3%, 2% I think it was, of America is gay. But if you surveyed Americans, they would tell you 25% is gay. Because you can't turn on anything. You can't watch a TV commercial now without seeing a couple dudes make out. We have two TVs here in the studio. I won't let Michael turn them on anymore. They were designed to keep the news on so we can stay abreast of breaking news when it comes on, like any journalist would do.
It's Journalist Jesse.
I won't have them on anymore. You look up, it's a transvestite every 15 minutes. I can't concentrate on doing the show. Anyway, I love this. DC Comics cancels gay Superman comic due to dismal sales. This is courtesy of Breitbart. People have got to realize there is a, and I'm count me involved in this. I am a real dude. You do what you do. I don't care type thing, because I know I'm the worst person in the world. I don't want you sticking your nose in what I do either. I'm just, we're all sinners, right? I don't care what you do. So you're not going to get any judgment from me. I don't care about your business right up until the point you insist on making your business my business. At that point in time, I am going to make your business my business. You understand? That's how I've operated forever. I don't care what you do. Man, you do what you do. That's none of my business at all. Oh, but I want to show your son. Okay, now what you do is in my face, and now it's my business. I've never cared. To be honest, if we could just go back to that, I still wouldn't care. Right up to the point you want to rub my face in it, now we're going to have a problem. And now I feel like I can't let you just do what you want to do. Now I feel like I need to be involved. Why? Because you can't freaking control yourself. There was no backlash against any of this LGBTQ filth. There was zero backlash against it in this country forever. Because people mostly feel like I feel. Do what you want. I don't really care. You know when the backlash came? The second you started dressing up in drag and letting kids put dollar bills in your thong. Now it's my business. The second you started putting pornography in the kids' libraries in school, now it's my business. The second you had to transform comic books, comic book movies, NFL football into LGBTQ propaganda, now it's my business. You couldn't control yourself, and now it's my business. All right. I'm going to tell a story because I promised I would tell a little story. Chris wanted it. You want a little personal story you'll enjoy from the Marine Corps? I'll tell you in just a moment. Before we tell that story, let's do tell you this. We do suffer from a weakness problem in this country. We do. It's part of the reason so much of this cultural rot has gotten so out of control. We're not strong enough, fellas. It is a man problem. I do blame us. I do. We should have been leading and fighting back. I'm very happy and proud of the women who are fighting back. But fellas, that should have been us as the tip of the spear. We do have a low T problem in this country. Testosterone levels are half of what they were 50 years ago. Half. They're free falling. Go get a male vitality stack from Chalk. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days with natural herbal supplements, not chemicals, not medicine, not big pharma garbage. Sign up for a subscription. You can cancel it at any time. I want to stress that. Anytime. Sign up for a subscription because they're 35% off with the promo code Jesse. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Male Vitality Stack. Fellas, go now.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Nafok, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I do have some devastating news for the show. This is going to hurt, and it's going to hurt bad, but just give me a second. Let me get this out, and then I'll get to my personal story. You know, we were talking earlier in the show about the local Mexican place, and then we brought up Fritos, and then I ended up telling you, I poured out my heart to you, and I told you that we had ordered cheesesteaks. Right, this place delivers cheesesteaks, and they're really good. And we're in the middle of doing a world-famous Jesse Kelly show, so we don't have time to go get it ourselves, but we ordered these cheesesteaks. I just got a phone call. They had to cancel the cheesesteak order because there was a mistake and the place had to close down. Am I going to be able to do the rest of the show? I don't know. I'm taking it one step at a time. All right. One step at a time. Can I climb Everest in a day? No, I can't climb Everest in a day. One step at a time. That's what we're going to do here. All right. Now, real quickly, let's make fun of John Fetterman.
Don't you think that if you just released those records and answered those calls, it would be easier to put this to bed?
Once I said, I believe that the having the...
He's doing well. Okay, quick defense of female comedians because I actually screwed that up. I was supposed to do it last segment, Chris. Here's my thing. There's a common saying out there, a common way of thinking, that men are funnier than women and that there aren't very many funny female comedians. And I'm actually not going to counter that, right? That's undoubtedly true, but I have an idea as to why. This is just a theory. This is one of my theories, but of course it's going to be correct. Here's why. You know who thinks male comedians are funny? Everyone. Men think they're funny. Women think they're funny. Been going to comedy clubs forever. Young Bloods, if you find an affordable one, highly recommend taking your lady out to a comedy club on a date. You know who likes to laugh? Every dime on the planet. Take her out for a day. Anyway, men and women love male comedians. How many guys do you know like female comedians? None. Men don't enjoy female comedians at all. At all. And I've seen these female comedians before. They're either joking about things I don't understand about, or they're too raunchy. And I need to, I'll get to that in a moment. So I think there are two reasons male comedians are thought to be funnier than female comedians. One, because women feel better than men. Boy, did that come out wrong. Women have better, women have better empathy than men. They are. The wife jokes, well, she's not joking, that I don't have any feelings at all. Women, they understand men better. So a male joking about male stuff is still funny to her. Women are so inhumanly complicated that men eventually just wash their hands of trying to understand them at all. And so females joking about female things, that's not funny. Men don't get that at all. And second part of this, I'm not encouraging anybody to speak one way or the other. I'm not your father or your priest or anything like that. But I will say, if one of your dudes, if a dude you know, if he says something maybe a little risque, little PG-13, maybe venturing into the rated R thing. Something, some kind of a joke. That oftentimes is very funny. But if a woman says it, girlfriend, wife, mother, whatever, sister, whatever the case may be, sometimes it can be funny. Lots of times, though, this is just kind of the way society is, the way we are. Comes off as kind of trashy. Chris, am I wrong about that? It comes off as kind of trashy. And so if you don't have those options, life's harder. All right, now let's focus on some personal stories here. Don't worry, I'll get back to politics. If I seem distracted from politics tonight, it's because I am. I have a lot of other things I want to talk about. And sometimes I go wild off a tangent. I'm about to tell you a Marine Corps story. Now, before I get to that Marine Corps story, you should know that it's a Marine Corps boot camp story. Marines are famous for being able to shoot really well. They just are. It's a priority. That stuff you see in the movies about how they make you sleep with your rifle and stuff like that, that's stuff that's real. That happens. They take guys in boot camp who have never held a weapon, and they make them expert shooters. That's not always the most pleasant learning environment in the world. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but they will make you a good shooter. What are they using? Like, if you were to show up at Paris Island boot camp right now, what would you see? You know, you'd see those Marine recruits using Mantis X. That Mantis X, that you hopefully have already bought so you can dry fire practice in the comfort of your home. It'll give you feedback. It'll make you better. You will see a bunch of recruits at Paris Island using Mantis X. You can practice using the same thing the Marines use, same thing the Green Berets use. It's right there on a website. It takes nothing. Go to MantisX.com and get one and practice in your home. You will be shocked at how good you get and how fast you get that good. MantisX.com. All right? Now, here's a little story. Chris, because we were telling stories about going out in the field, and I was telling stories about the darkness earlier, how I think it's a blood sugar thing. If I can be hungry, that's fine. If I get too hungry, I become just almost like a whole other person. I become a whole other person. I'm just nasty, not funny. I can't even laugh. If I get like that at the house, the wife will just say, please go get some food. Just go, or she'll bring me some. Just please eat. Here's a piece of bread, right? Just do something before you kill us all. Marine Corps boot camp. At the end of Marine Corps boot camp, I have no idea why I'm telling a bunch of Marine stories tonight. At the end of Marine Corps boot camp, there's this thing, I don't know if they still do it, I think they still do, called the Crucible. I know they were doing it when I was in, and then they took it away for a while because too many guys were getting broken and hurt, and then they brought it back. What you need to know is, as far as I remember, I think it's 3 or 4 days. I don't remember at all of it now. 3 or 4 days of this gigantic final exercise where this is the end of boot camp. You have to hump miles and miles and miles, 50, 60 miles. It's endless. It's more than just humping endless. You have to do these various exercises that are brutal. They're designed to be brutal, designed to test your mind. You have to take a 150-pound dummy, and you and five buddies have to haul him over the top of some obstacle, and it's things like that. Drag your buddy 100 miles through the mud under some barbed wire, so it's physically and mentally draining, and it's supposed to be. It's the Marine Corps. It's not the Girl Scouts. It's the Marine Corps. At the end of it, if you make it through the Crucible, the symbol of the Marine Corps, you've probably seen it, it's the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor. At the end of that, your drill instructors who have abused you for 3 months, they will take an Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, and they will pin it on you or hand it to you, depending on what you're doing. But they will, that it is the moment. It is the moment. You made it. You survived. You're a Marine if you make it through the Crucible. Now, they also don't give you a lot of food, and that's going to come into play here in just a moment. I think they gave us a meal a day, maybe a meal a day. Again, I'm messing. It's been a while since I've done this, but it's not near enough calories, and it's designed to not be near enough calories. You burn through the calories in the first hour of this thing. That's how grueling it's going to be. And to make matters worse, let's have a little talk about the ugly side of life. How many times have we talked about history stories and the things people do when they're hungry? Well, we're going to have a little story about that in a moment.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, you know what? Chris asked me coming in how many of these places I've been to off that Johnny Cash song. I would have to see a list, I'm sure, by now in this internet age. Someone else has came up with a list. I'll tell you off the top of my head, it's been a lot of them. It's been a lot of them. The old disastrous life I've lived has taken me to many a place out there. We're going to get to DHS Secretary Mayorkas lying to your face. And again, we're going to circle back to trust in institutions in just a minute. I'm going to finish up this story. Well, I'm going to tell you this story really quickly. In case you're just joining me, I'm telling a little Marine Corps story, courtesy a request of Chris. At the end of Marine Corps boot camp, there's the Crucible. It's this really grueling few-day thing. Hump many miles. It's hiking, Chris. Grow up. Why don't you grow up, Chris? Anyway, you do a lot of humping. You eat a lot of Well, nothing. They don't give you enough food. They give you a meal a day, if I remember right. Now, remember this. You say you're not a thief. I say I'm not a thief. And I'm proud up to this point in my life to have maintained that. I've never stolen anything, never will. I hope. There is a problem, though. You're only not a thief right up to the point where you're starving. Hungry people do things that fed people don't do. Know how I said there were only three meals for, I think it was 3 days? Someone stole my food when I was asleep. Now, this is the Marine Corps. This is not kindergarten. It's not Little League. It's not Cub Scouts. It's not your kid's college safe space. You don't get to walk up to your drill instructors, really ever for any reason, but you definitely don't get to walk up to them and complain about things like the fact you don't have food anymore. That would just earn you more punishment and abuse. So you do, the only thing you can do is you suck it up and go on. Now, fast forward to the end of the Crucible, and this only applies to San Diego. I can't speak for how the Crucible ends at the other boot camp, which is in Parris Island, back east. In San Diego, you're in Camp Pendleton. At the end of the Crucible, you are exhausted beyond anything you've ever felt in your life. And you're humping your way towards this final hill. I should call it a mountain, but it's a very, very steep, very, very long hill. It has a name I cannot and will not say on the radio. It's Mount Mother, and then you can fill in the rest of it. Sorry, that's what it's called. You get to the bottom of this hill, and they give you a break. You get 5 minutes, whatever the case may be. And you drop your pack on the side of this crappy dirt road and you sit down, chug some water, and you get ready for what's going to be the most grueling hike of your life. Now, at the top, if you make it to the top, you are going to be handed that Eagle Globe and Anchor and you are going to be a Marine, what you've killed yourself for 3 months. By this point, it's well beyond the darkness. I'm starving and I don't have anything left. I have no blood sugar left. I'm not quitting. I won't quit. I wouldn't do that. But I sit down on my pack and I don't know. I don't have any idea how I'm going to do this. And honest, I'll be frank. Physically, I don't think I can. I'm looking up at this thing. I haven't eaten. I don't think I've eaten in a day and a half, and I mean nothing. Talk about a gift from God himself. I sit down on this random dirt road. Sit down on my pack, my head, I'm sitting on it, my elbows are on my knees, and my head is hanging low. I can't even hold my head up anymore. My head is hanging low. My camis at the time, my uniform at the time, they're all white. Why are they white? It's the salt from my body. My body has no water left. Once you get to that point, it'll eject all the salt from it, and the salt will crush your camis. You can actually, like, shake the crust, the salt crust off your camis when you're done. So I've got nothing left. I'm done, right? And I've got nothing done, and I don't know how I'm going to make it up this mountain. And I will never forget this moment as long as I live. With my head hanging there, I see a little silver thing, just a wee little silver corner sticking out of the dirt underneath me, in between my legs. And I just have nothing. So I kind of reach my hand down and I brush it aside and there's something there. And I brush it aside and brush it aside. You know, I've told you about MREs. In many of the MREs, they'll give you either hot chocolate, or at least they did back in the day, a powdered hot chocolate or powdered apple cider. It's just essentially apple sugar is really what it is. They want you to pour it in your canteen, enjoy it. Somebody long ago had dropped their unopened packet of apple cider at that part of the road that happened to end up right in between my legs. It was so old that all the labeling, everything that was on it was gone. All that was left was this tin foil packet. I didn't even know it was in there. I thought that's what it might be because I knew it. I opened up this thing. It had been unopened, so it was still sealed and still good. An entire packet full of sugar. You have never tasted anything that good in your entire life. I tipped my head back and poured that heavenly sugar into my mouth and drank water. It honestly, it felt like I don't know what it feels like to have all of a sudden super health injected into your veins, but it felt like all of a sudden you were the Incredible Hulk. You transformed from normal Bruce into incredible. That's what it felt like. I skipped up that mountain. I was so full of pep, courtesy of that sugar. There's your story. All right. Well, I will get to some emails, but I realize there are some stories I need to hit. Why are Republican governors so popular, and yet Republicans themselves are so scared? There's something to dig into there. And DHS Secretary Mayorkas, who's absolutely about to be impeached when Republicans take over, he's got a brand new lie, well, an old lie that we're now finding out about. Oh, one more thing I forgot to mention. That school you're sending Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to, you might want to rethink that. All that's still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. There's something else that's still to come. You protecting yourself. I got this email from this guy. Killed me. Jesse, I'm a disabled veteran from Utah. I finally broke down and purchased the Hero 2020 self-defense kit. I thought I would test it out in my garage the first time. The first time I shot a hole through my garage door. Again, these things are non-lethal, right? And that pepper ball it shoots, it's full of this pepper, just brutal stuff. But it shoots 100 miles per hour. This thing will stop a bad guy. There are no excuses if you're not a gun guy or not a gun girl. No excuses. Go get a Hero gun for yourself and the person you love and keep it on you. It will save your life. It's got a laser sight. Anyone can use it. Point and squeeze. Anybody can use it. It doesn't require a concealed carry permit. If it's a little too big, which I doubt, get a Hero Arrow, which is even smaller and more aerodynamic. I actually get both. I have both of them. Go to hero2020.com. Use the code Jesse. That's what gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. And remember, state restrictions may apply. Now, I do talk to plenty of Republican senators and congressmen. Reluctantly, but I do talk to them, the decent ones anyway. And there is one thing that I have consistently heard from them that I ask about impeachment, what are Republicans going to do? They all tell me that Mayorkas is going to be impeached. Why? Well, I'm going to show you why. Hang on.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.